Ace Podcast.
What's up, nerds? I am your host, Spike.
And I'm your co-host, Dan.
Dan, he's back.
Co-host, what's the word for
guest co-host?
Guest co-host. Pro tem.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Like, that sound, I feel like that's a temporary pro tem.
Yeah, I think, I have no idea, but it sounds right. So we're going to go with it.
We'll cut out the part where I said I'm not sure what that means. And just
we'll pretend like we know what we're
talking
about.
We'll go straight ahead.
So how was your week, Dan? What'd you do?
I met with a roofer, and I may be getting a new roof.
Like, what's wrong with your, is it leaking or?
No, it's old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it's also, well, we had a leak, and then we discovered, oh, there's certain parts of this roof that don't drain well, and they pond up, and yeah, so, adult!
Our friend Dom, have you met Dom from AmpGuard?
Maybe at Maze?
Yeah, he's a... like
he never wears a shirt.
Never wears a shirt. Poofy hair. Yeah.
Yeah, I met him, yeah. Or at least I saw him.
I've seen his magnificent form.
I've seen his work.
Oh, he's a roofer.
Oh, okay.
Works for some. So he might be coming.
Do you know who
he
works for?
I do not know.
Okay.
But I imagine in Las Cruces there are maybe two or three roofers.
You would be incorrect.
Really? There's like a million of them.
There are a shitload. So News Corner. What was it? A year and a quarter ago, there was a huge hailstorm came through, like an October-ish time frame or something.
Yeah, I know.
Not this last October, the October before.
No, yeah, I know that one. Yeah,
and that created a shitload of roofing jobs. So
that's
this guy
right.
that I got out just now, this is the first person I've been able to get out and actually show up on time and sound like, yeah, we would like to take the job doing the job on your roof, even though there's not an insurance company that's probably going to pay for it because my damage is just over time. So yeah, like a year and a quarter or something like that before I could get somebody out because I had the problems right before that hail hit, but the hail didn't hit my house. So
hail is creating jobs in our
we're doing it. Yeah, other than that, we did some gaming last night.
It was a great game.
It was great. Charles did real good.
He did.
We did a lot of funny voices. We came up with the, we fought some centaurs, and we quickly renamed them Senators.
Senators. Mr. Senator.
Ah, filibuster. Oh, 46 damage.
Yeah, it was great. I wanted to make a Necro Dancer, but it ended up just completely going off, skewing off. But I liked my character.
It was good. I did too. I was a cloud man.
Yeah. I think everybody had pretty cool characters. It was a fun game. I liked it.
Yeah, I dug it. It's good. But,
Yep, that's all I did. I played video games all week. I didn't get out of the house at all, really.
Just No Man's Sky the whole time?
Nope. I'm really not feeling No Man's Sky anymore.
Did you watch that video I posted?
I did, and I thought it was great. I think it's great when people do actual reviews. Because, like, okay, right now, I was talking about this.
Yeah, they critically look at a thing. And...
or they bump it up, and they won't say a harsh word. So they're like, this is the greatest game of all time. If you don't like this game, you're an idiot, because they're pandering to people who like the game.
Yeah.
Or they'll be like, this is the worst game, and you are stupid if you like it.
Because they're pandering to the
haters. And it's like, I really just want a honest review of a video game, because I'm debating whether I should get Witcher 3 or Dishonored 2. And, like, I can't find an honest review on either of them.
I hear really good things about Witcher.
So do I, but I also hear really bad things about it.
What are the bad things, though?
That it's the combat gets stale after, like, 10 minutes. And that,
are there combats that take longer than 10 minutes?
No, I mean after 10 minutes of gameplay. Well, right. That's the bad review. The people that are, like, hating on it are like, oh, combat gets... so repetitive after 10 minutes, but it's probably more like after an hour or so, you're like...
But I hear that's not like the point. Like, well, all right, so that's a point of that game, but everything I hear is that the expansive... it's Skyrim-like, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's got a really cool expansive world, and the exploration is great, and it's a cool story. I don't know.
I think I might end up...
boobs.
Yeah, I hear there's a lot of Gamergate going on there, but... I just want a huge open world. So that's one reason why I'm like, okay, that sounds great. And then also, well, I mean, I don't like stale combat, but I think I might end up going with The Witcher because it is like half the price of Dishonored 2. Dishonored 2 just came out kind of recently. So it's still that $60 range. And Witcher's.
Plus, you could do the, I think this combat's going to suck. I'll just play it on easy mode. So fuck, who gives a shit about
the
combat?
I'm amazing. Yeah, so that was my week. Video games and debating what kind of video games I should
debating with Senators.
Yeah, I'm debating with Mr. Senator.
Oh, I see. I'm just a Virginia Senator.
I'm just a humble backwoods Senator. I don't know nothing about this law you speak of. But yeah, we'll kick right into our... I guess let's go to the VR topic, because that kind of has something to do with what I was... So I was looking at Steam, and I was looking at video games of like what... is out right now, and every video game is like the same. Like,
for VR?
No, for everything else.
Okay.
So like the only video games I can find are like survival games, huge block, like big budget blockbuster ones, which I don't tend, which, you know, they're right, their own type.
You don't feel the Call of Duty.
No, yeah. Call of Duty, Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs sounds interesting to me, but I don't think I could commit that much to it.
I heard some hacking one.
Yeah. I mean, it seems kind of cool, but I really want a nice fantasy RPG right now in my life. But
then the Switcher. There you go.
The Switcher. Yeah, so probably Switcher. But yeah.
Or Final Fantasy. I don't really know from Final Fantasy.
No.
15, 17, what is it? I don't know.
I think it's 15, and I'm pretty much spent on Final Fantasy. I think they had a good heyday for a while, but they're not making very good games anymore.
I don't know. All of my video game news mostly comes from Penny Arcade.
Yeah.
And reading what's his name, Tycho's blog posts.
Yeah.
And so he's got good things to say about it, but I don't know if that's just I like these parts of this game, and these are really cool. I don't know if it's an overall.
I think that 14 was really bad. I think that I might be right in that.
I had also heard that.
So, yeah, they went from like a pretty horrible game to, you know, like a pretty solid Final Fantasy game, but
yeah,
it's just, I'm just not that into JRPGs anymore.
So you looked into some stuff and VR popped up, or?
Yeah, and a lot of what you get is VR, and it seems like games, you know, like it
what
seems
are you
like,
talking about game reviews, or are you talking about porn?
Hey. I mean, that,
Porn nerds.
Yeah, porn nerds. Where we review porn titles.
Oh, this is not a good... I don't know. It could be hilarious.
I think it'd be better if we had more of a female demographic. Then otherwise it's... Or not demographic, but like a female co-host or something. But
5 episodes in, we get tons of viruses on our computer.
Yeah.
And
it's awful. But yeah, it seems like most of the... Even the indie and major companies aren't making new, crazy, weird, different games. But it seems like the VR is just a wild, wild west.
Right, yeah, because there's nothing established.
So
it,
I was
right?
genuinely thinking about... Our friend Charles gave us a topic because we couldn't think of... Well, I asked...
I solicited.
Yeah, he
solicited. I'm not ashamed of it.
Well, also, I asked Dan last night, like, hey, I kind of forgot about Supnerds. Do you want to come back this week? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. So here I am.
Yay, save the day.
Yay.
But yeah, Charles wanted us to talk about VR, which is funny because I was actually possibly contemplating getting an Oculus Rift.
Sweet. They just came out with a Touch or whatever, which actually gives you a better controller or something. I don't know what
Yeah, I don't know about
like
those weird Oculus Nunchuck things they have. You know what I'm talking about? They're like a controller in each hand so you can do punchy stuff.
Yeah. They almost look like the...
The Wiimotes or whatever.
Well, there's a comic book where somebody has... Oh, it's one of... One of Darkseid's guys, right? Doesn't he have, or some Jack Kirby guy created dude that has these bands across his hands, and when he punches people, that hurts a lot.
Something. I believe you. I don't recall, but I absolutely believe.
I'll add
that
it to I'll post a comment on myself.
This is the guy I was talking about.
Yeah, too bad Tony doesn't listen to this.
Well, he might now if he's.
He's been summoned.
The call. But yeah, I'm actually pretty interested. Apparently, I was looking at my hardware, and I meet the base requirements for Oculus Rift.
Burly, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got the GTX 970 graphics card, the NVIDIA card. So it's like right in the middle of where you want to be to be able to play. But,
right, yeah.
So that means, I mean, that's the crappy thing about owning a PC is eventually you're going to have to upgrade your graphics card.
Yep.
That's just something I've expected. So, you know, I could potentially do this. And it looks like, I think, can you play the Oculus Rift with just like a Xbox controller thing?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I know that there were complaints about either the controller that existed or the lack of controller options.
Like
so
a specific controller.
They came out with the Oculus Touch.
I bet it's real expensive. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah,
and
I mean,
you could also go with the Vive. That's the
Is that cheaper? Or?
I don't know if it's cheaper. I think that may be the one because does the Oculus come with peripherals that track you? Like, yeah. You mount things in your room. And...
No, no, no. I don't. Maybe for the controllers, but I
think. Well, this is like a. So if I remember right, it's the Vive that it tracks things on the headset.
Oh, that's right. It's got little inputs on the.
Yeah,
headset.
So you have like things in the four corners of the room that are tracking you as you move around, too.
I think that the Oculus uses a different technology. I watched a video on it a long time ago about a like predictive tracking thing. It, like, I don't want to say gyroscopes because that just sounds like a cop out. As far as I don't know what I'm talking about.
You think of those little toys where you put the string in the thing,
you
pull
it,
the little gyroscope.
Yeah,
just
you can get it on
a long
the string
time.
And balance it back and forth.
That's probably the technology. That
yeah, there's a little tiny gnomes inside of the Oculus Rift balancing a gyroscope.
Keep it spinning.
If it stops, he'll get sick. Can't let that happen, Schnellbeck.
Yeah. So, yeah, you could use your... I wonder if your spare room over there has space.
For well, I'd probably play it right here.
Just run some cables up over the door into that room, and then you got a space that you never have to put anything in.
Right, I could completely clear out that room,
yeah.
And I'll be like, whoa, that's the VR room.
Yep.
This is
it
the...
sounds like to get like the experience you want from what I've heard so far. Is
right,
like,
you
want to
stand up
and... Yeah, you
want
a space that's like 10 by 10, or I don't know how big that is, but... They're like, you want a place where you're not going to accidentally hit the coffee table or something, because
right.
You will hit the coffee table if it's there.
Yeah, I guess I'll do a bit of research. I mean, like, I was looking at just the headset, and the headset's $600 for the Oculus.
Okay.
I don't know about the Vive. I didn't look it up yet, but yeah, I mean, that seems pretty affordable for... I mean, it used to be, like, $2,000... for just the headset back when it first started?
Right, and if you compare it to... I need to buy a new TV to play my computer on.
Yeah.
That seems, because it's effectively what it is, right? Is partly it's just a sensory input. You're strapping
yeah.
a TV to your head.
Yep.
And then you're playing games in it. Or watching movies. Apparently you can strap that thing on and then watch a TV in VR on Netflix.
And then watch porn.
Or the other not. Yeah, watch not porn.
Can I though?
Yeah,
can I, Dan?
Well, you might not choose to.
Just kidding. But so how do you feel about the Oculus Rift? Are you interested at all? I know you don't have a lot of gaming time.
Yeah, and I'm running up against the so we've always been kind of cognizant of how much screen time our kids are getting and try
good,
to limit
good call.
It, right?
Yeah.
But I go back and forth constantly on how much, especially my son, because he's the one that wants to engage with it. And so I started thinking a lot recently about like how much screen time the kids are getting, how much screen time we're getting, because we always have a phone in our pocket.
Yeah.
And then there's TV that we don't watch a lot of it during the week, but we watch some. And so, yeah, I don't know. I doubt I would get an Oculus.
Yeah.
Just because we seem to have put ourselves as a family in a culture of, we're going to limit how much we engage with extrasensory shit, right? That like the TV or whatever, or ESP.
You want to go outside every once in a
while. Or, yeah, psychic powers.
Psychic powers. Don't limit your psychic powers.
Well, there's
powers.
That, but there's also like, hey, you had all these toys. Go play with them. Yeah. I want to play this video game. Well, you know what? I'm in charge of that. So, and on top of that, yeah, so complicated feels.
No, I think that's good. I got two, because, you know, like a single parent syndrome for me, so I had a lot of like free time to just play video games all day.
Yeah,
and
yeah, well, and that was the same, right? My parents, no one, the idea that, oh, hey, screen time might not be the best thing for you to do.
Yeah,
well, that wasn't really an issue because I got an Atari when I was 8 or 9, right? So, but my kids, they're around, there's been an Xbox in the house since the day they were born.
Yeah.
And there's been a giant TV on the wall. So I don't know, it's a little bit different than when we were growing up.
You know, my dad kind of fucked it up for me because he was like, okay, we got a pretty, at the time, you know, it probably had a 28 megabytes of RAM, but it was a nice computer at the time. And he was like, I don't want you to play video games on this. You have to I want you to learn to use this and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And you got to learn the systems and stuff like that. And by doing that, he limited me because I don't know if you played a lot of old computer games, but installing them, you almost always had to learn how to use DOS
when I played
or something.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Well, and even going forward, right? When I played EverQuest, I learned how to fucking manage all sorts of, what do you call it, network shit.
Yeah.
Because I wanted my computer, which was maybe not on the high end of what I could do in that game, to be able to play that game. So I had to maximize all these connections and stuff over the network. And on top of that, I learned how to change out a video card. I learned how to change out RAM, like all this shit, just because I was playing that one computer.
Right, so yeah. I think that, like, especially back in the day, having knowledge of how to play computer games was pretty useful. I mean,
it gave you a lot of knowledge about the inner workings of the computer. Yeah.
Yeah, and my dad kind of lacked. He was like, "Oh, you don't get to play video games." I was like, "Oh, okay, well, I guess I just won't try then." You know? But, yeah, I think it's a lot easier now because you could just go on Steam and click to purchase, click to download, right, boom, yeah, it's done in like 5 minutes, you know.
And that's a tough thing, too, about the Xbox is that with the iPad, I can tell my daughter, no, don't watch Netflix while you're on it. You need to play some games, and that's okay because generally the games we have loaded on it are semi-educational or they're teaching them something, right?
Yeah.
You can limit that, but on the Xbox,
as
far as I know, it's not real easy. Or at least I haven't searched around for it. And the kind of games I'm going to buy are the ones that I want to play. So I'm kind of damning myself.
Blood Dragon.
Yeah, exactly. Play Blood Dragon. The soundtrack's awesome.
Oh, so last night Charles was talking about a tabletop game that he kind of was creating in his brain.
Yes.
Which inspired me to share my, I was watching, Twilight Zone on New Year's, which I always do. They used to run.
Yeah, they do the marathon or they used to.
I watch it on Netflix now because it's all on Netflix or most of it's on Netflix, but, and I don't have TV, but
yeah.
But yeah. I might have just heard Dan talk about a game that is, because Dan informs us of a lot of different tabletop games.
immerse myself and I wallow.
So stop me if this is something that you have explained to me and I just lodged it back in my brain. Okay, so this was the idea is, so it's a cowboy game, Old West game.
Uh-huh.
And you start with a duel that starts at high noon.
Okay.
It's way more on the storytelling side. Like I was thinking maybe do like a rotation, like, okay, so I won't get into the details of it, but basically it starts out with one of the players is in a duel, mm-hmm. you know, and they kill the other person. So it starts out with a death and then it goes around like sort of like the clock from Apocalypse World where you get closer to midnight, and midnight is where that player who did the killing in the first duel dies. And all we're doing is developing the story of how they were related at the same, you know, like how does your player relate? Like, does your player hate that guy for killing, this guy and stuff like that? And I haven't worked out any of the details, but,
idea. I mean, the seed idea is great.
I mean, you're right in the mix of it too. It forces you to be like, there's a duel happening. You guys are shooting and you killed a guy. What do you got? You know, like now we're going around and I don't know that it would need to go in a circle, but you know, maybe people could just jump back and forth or whatever. But
yeah, I've looked into some of the more heavy storytelling heavy games. Dust Devils comes to mind, but I'm not too sure. I mean, that's one of the older like indie games, but I've never played it, and I actually haven't read all of the rules. I've heard people talk about it a bit, so it's a narrative heavy kind of Western game. It seems like I heard somebody talk about one where either they were talking about an existing one or one they wanted to create on the Google Plus or something, that part of the character sheet was you have this the revolver chambers are a part of your character
sheet.
Oh,
okay,
you're
cool.
Marking these things off as you go through it or something like
that's
that.
Cool. I'll steal that idea for my game.
Yeah, well, that sounds like that would work well, right? Instead of the clock, you use the revolver chambers. It's like, all right, we got six scenes to figure out how we get from here to here.
See, that's even better. And then it's just like, okay, well, you're all in the scene, like, well, how? Or maybe you're just watching from the bushes, or maybe two of you are teaming up on the one guy and whatever, you know?
It sounds like you might can do a modified version of something like Microscope or they did another one called Kingdoms. Those games are very much like, all right, we're going to take this overarching, we're going to decide on an overarching story for this it's called a game, but it's really a narrative exercise. And then we're going to drill down into pieces of this overarching story and tell those stories. And you can drill down in different levels to give it different detail. And you end up with this timeline of a story that you fleshed out over the course of however many hours you end up playing this game. You could do something like that where it's like, all right, well, this first scene, here are the – whoever is setting that scene can be like, all right, these are the characters involved. So everybody needs to pick one of those up. Is there anybody else you think should be in the scene? And then we'll play it. Here's the basic concept for it. So whether that's a game or not, right, it's a narrative exercise.
It could be great, especially if it's like, well, okay, you're not in this scene. You have to be in the next scene.
Right.
You distribute
authorship to the point where nobody's really playing one particular character, maybe.
Yeah.
Like maybe even you distribute authorship of the singular character that's going through their death spiral or their whatever you're going to call it into different, I don't know.
And how this relates, in case you're curious, because I did bring up Twilight Zone, is I was also thinking about giving them, like, everybody has a single power, quote-unquote power, but it's, like, a power from Twilight Zone. Like, the one I'm specifically thinking of is, like, a...
The kid that can wish anything?
No, way too powerful. Like, simple things like, I'm fucking Dusty McWaters or whatever. I never miss with this old rifle. Yeah, yeah. But then that's... You have a trait that's like, I've never missed, you know? And then it's like, well, okay, but I'm like... impenetrable to bullets. So then those two people get into a fight and it's like, well, yeah, you're hitting him again and again and it hurts him, but he's not dying, you know?
That'd be neat.
Huh. Yeah. Just, I mean, that would definitely take the number crunching. I would have to actually figure out like what...
Maybe, or you could abstract it out and not have to crunch the numbers.
Right.
That's
and
the other way.
Yeah. I mean, like if you're doing a storytelling thing, then you can, you're not going to be doing a power gaming thing.
Right.
Cause then you could have like crazy powers. Like you could be the boy that wishes things into existence.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter if you can. It's what you do with it that counts, right?
Yeah,
because
we're all going towards that end game of the first guy dying, you know?
Yeah.
But so that's my idea. So you haven't heard anything specifically like that?
I have not.
I'm going to make it, maybe.
Do it. Yeah. Make that thing.
I might. on New Year's, because I was watching it on New Year's, and I was thinking, like, that'd be kind of cool to have a game that it's like, well, you start at high noon and fucking progress, and I don't know, but I'll crunch some numbers. I'll see what I'm going to do.
I'll do some research and see if I can find something that could crush your hopes and dreams.
Within an hour, Dan's going to be like sending me links to five games.
Oh, wait, there. I found it already.
I found it. It exists. Yeah. But so you sent me what's it called?
It's a game supplement, kind of. It's kind of a mini game that's meant to be an add-on to an existing game.
Right.
I mean, their intent is any kind of D&D game, you can add this to it.
Slap it on there.
Yeah, it's called Do Not Let Us Die in the Dark Night of This Cold Winter, which is great. I love the title.
Yeah, don't let us die in the nasty bad, please.
Yeah, please save us, please. It's written by Cecil Howell. I guess he's from... I don't know, Cone Publishing or something. Anyway, so the intent is that if you have a party of adventurers that are doing fantasy type D&D-ish stuff, you can throw this in as a kind of either, I don't know, just as a real fucking downer of a scenario. They stumble upon a village, or there's some hook that brings them into a village that is suffering through a horrible, terrible winter, and all of the people in the village are going to die if these adventurers don't pitch in and help them survive through the winter. So the idea is the winter is X number of rounds long. You need to get fuel, medicine, and food enough for these people, or else they'll die. And the mechanics are such that you assign a building to each character. And then the GM is kind of I forget what they call it in the book. It's the town elder or something like that. And he basically becomes a facilitator, right?
Right.
So you go through turns. Each turn is like a week or a month, or probably like several days or a week. And you go through a number of these turns until the winter ends.
Yeah.
And during each turn, you're looking at the people, how bad off are they, which ones are dying is like the first step in the turn, right? So if there are people that have two boxes of sick marked or three boxes of hungry, those people die.
Yeah.
So you're playing, it basically becomes a resource management game that's supposed to be bolted onto a fantasy game. Because in the game, too, you have, it abstracts out any players to either being fighters, thieves, or wizards, right? Fighters are good at going out and chopping firewood and getting fuel.
Yeah.
Thieves are good at hunting so they can get food.
Or rangers,
and,
I guess.
Yeah,
too,
rangers
fall
too.
Into
right.
That, yeah.
You take it. That's part of the first step is you take a look at the characters that are in the real game that you're playing.
Yeah, and then you allocate them to
you fall
them
into
thief.
This bucket. Right? Yeah. So you're either going to be good at getting fuel, at getting food, or getting medicine. And you have to have a certain number of that in the storehouse because you're randomly rolling each turn for how cold is it.
Yeah.
All right. The cold is ranked 1, 2, 3. You need that number of fuel for each house in order to get through that night without people dying.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have enough fuel, I think not having enough fuel is one of the worst things in the game. Because if you don't have enough fuel, people just freeze to death that night.
There's no
saves
or
anything. So
no,
it's like you
don't
have enough fuel. One of your persons freezes to death in the night. One of the people in the house
yeah.
freezes to death. And then the others are, you can go a couple days being hungry, but you're getting impacted by this severely cold winter, too. You have some livestock that's in the village that it can get butchered for food if you don't happen to find any. And then there's these occurrence tables that happen. That's a part of it, too, is like some weird shit
that's
happens.
That's the most awesome part. I was, I wouldn't say indifferent about this. I thought it was, you know, an interesting idea until
yeah.
I read the occurrence tables. And I was like, let's do this now. Like, one of them is like you get like one of your villagers gets attacked by ravens.
Right.
And
right,
I was just
yeah.
like, what? Like random birds attack you? And the
yeah,
best one I read, because I was just skimming through them, and the best one I read was one of the villagers you thought died of a fever crawls out of his shallow grave and comes back to the village. And I was like,
yeah,
what? That's such a great story. What is that guy doing? Like,
right,
what?
Right. Yeah, well, that's one of the great things about the occurrence tables, I think, too, is that they not only do they introduce complications in terms of the mechanics and the resources you're trying to
uh-huh.
manage for this whole thing, but shit like that fucks things up, right?
Yeah.
Because you're like, all right, well, this guy died, but that's fine. Now we know how much resources we
need. Right,
we
don't
allocate.
Need as much food.
Suddenly there's another person.
Yeah.
Fuck, do we have enough of whatever we need to keep this person alive too now? Because the intent...
And he's
going to
be pissed, too. He's about, you buried
yeah,
me in
right.
a shallow grave.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of cool in that you could play it out as just a mini game that's almost like a board game.
Right.
Or you can get into the role-playing part of it and actually at each turn, at each step, get into like how your characters are dealing with this, how the people are related
right.
to your characters.
Have
these
some bards do some
them.
Like some morale rolls to try to boost people's morale or whatever.
Right. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, I liked it too. One of the ones was some like it seems like a lot of them involve like cabin
almost all
fever.
Negative.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's almost
yeah.
all negative. Like one guy like runs off naked into the woods.
Yeah.
So he like basically goes mad and gets cabin fever.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
great.
That's cool.
The only issue I would have with this is like you would have to 100% get your players behind it.
Yeah, that was something I was going to bring up too. Is that you think about tone in a game and.
You would have to be the good guys, too, because if you're a villainous group of people rolling into this
unless you give them a good enough reason, right?
Right. Well, yeah, and it has a system for rewards for,
yeah.
like, what do you get out of doing this?
But that can, yeah, I read that, and I was like, okay, that's fine. That's just something you come up with. Right?
Yeah.
The reward can be, we're the good guys.
Yeah.
We need to make sure these people live.
Then, yeah.
Fuck, what
I mean,
horrible way to die.
Honestly, if you're playing in a campaign where it's like, you're constantly moving around the map and coming back to these towns that you visited before.
Right.
Like, think about this. Like, yeah, now they're fucked. But if you saved their lives, every villager in this village, you come back through and they're going to be like, well, it's a party.
Yeah.
Have free food. Here's rations.
Yeah, you are our saviors forever.
Here's my daughter. You know, like, please marry my daughter. You know, yeah. We love you, you know.
Well, it also would fit pretty well. And this gets mentioned kind of in passing a little bit in a Game of Thrones game, if you were playing that.
Yeah.
Because the winters in Game of Thrones last for years. And then you just abstract the turns out so that they're longer.
Right.
And then you play through something like that where you're like, fuck, the winter hit and it is awful.
Right. Like, after each scene, you have to do one of these resource management things and randomly roll an occurrence.
Yeah, it's neat. It puts me in mind of something like Pendragon, which I haven't played, but I've read a little bit of, and most of what I've heard is you end up getting some of this kind of mini game at the end of, so in Pendragon, you're Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah.
And you go off on nightly adventures to search for the Holy Grail, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And it, but at the end of the adventure season or whatever it's called, you go through a whole wintering phase where you have to upkeep for your castle or whatever it is. You might have kids. They may or may not live or die during that time. Like, there's a whole mini game that happens outside of just the, yay, let's go kill this giant boar that's raging across Cornwall or something. Yeah.
I think it's good. I think it adds a bit of flavor. Yeah, to an otherwise hack slash style.
It breaks it up too, right? Because you could...
It's like Winters and Mouse Guard, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, well,
yeah,
although
I was thinking of that too, yeah.
Although aren't Winters and Mouse Guard kind of like...
Typically, it's an extended player turn. So
right.
You just, if you can, you do something. If not, it's this downtime where you kind of can develop. Well, what does your character do when your mouse is...
Yeah, when you're not out saving the day and...
Being the guard of the mice. Yeah. So, I dig it, though, man. I really like this kind of stuff.
Yeah, if for nothing else, I would say that those occurrence tables are freaking amazing, and I want to use them in every game.
Yeah.
I really love the flavor of it, too. It's not just like the botch tables from DCC, which are cool, but like they tend to be normal, sort of like you break your sword or you do stuff like that. But this is like there's a level of madness on top of
that's kind of the cool thing too, is you could write up your own occurrence tables to change the tone of it too.
Yeah.
Right, is you could really play up that Cthulhu-esque part, and this might be like a really cool thing to throw into something like a Call of Cthulhu
game. Yeah, or any game. You could just skin the tables.
Yeah,
you could do my cowboy game.
Yeah, one of my favorites was one of so every turn has an active player too, and so when you go into the occurrence tables and it mentions the active player, that's the person's building this is going to affect.
Oh, okay.
Unless they don't fit the criteria, then it moves to the previous active player, and you try to match the criteria there. But one of them is like someone in the active player has to pick someone in their building. They snuck into the store of medicine and overdosed. All of the medicine is gone and that person is dead.
I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, that's badass. It's just a stir crazy thing that just like blows out resources.
Getting cabin fever.
Dumb shit. Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. So let's see what time we're at. Come here, you. Oh, yeah, we probably have time for Ben's topic.
Ben's topics. I hit up Ben, too, and said, hey, give me a topic. And he came back with some maybe things that I definitely haven't thought much about. So
well, we've talked about the clone saga on the Spider-Man's clone saga on Sutner's before
a while ago,
20 episodes ago or something like that.
So Spider-Man's clone saga was Spider-Man, like the brief recap, right, is that Spider-Man... found out he was a clone, turned out he was actually Ben Reilly, which is like a clone of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
The real Spider-Man came back.
The long and the short of it is it turns out Peter Parker is not actually Spider-Man. He's a clone. So the person that you've loved and followed his comics for a while, it turns out he's just a clone. And that's when I stopped buying Spider-Man comics.
It's widely reviled as one of the worst storylines in comics.
I didn't like it, but they retconned it, and that's just how comics work. They're going to retcon everything.
Yeah. So Ben's question was, which superhero would have been better, happier for the fans, to have been a clone than Spider-Man? Can you think of a superhero in, let's say, Marvel Comics, that they've been a clone the whole time?
Yeah. Okay, so this is what came to my mind, because the second part of his thing was, and what comic book relationships...
those are two different questions.
Yeah, but I worked all of mine into one.
Oh, okay.
what comic or comic relationships would have worked out better than Lois Lane? Like, who should have dated Lois Lane, Mary Jane, or Gwen Stacy? So this is what I came up with. So for the Clone Saga... it turns out Mary Jane is a clone the whole time. And Peter freaks out like Mary Jane did in the actual comic.
Yeah.
So Peter's like, I don't know if I can date you. You're not the person that I thought I loved, blah, blah, blah. And then like, so she fucks off and starts dating Gwen Stacy.
Really mixed it up.
Yeah. That's all I could really come up with.
But. Yeah. Well, you mentioning that makes me, it reminded me that Jean Grey had a clone. Right? Cyclops married her.
Oh, okay. I didn't know anything.
So Jean Grey died in the Dark Phoenix, whatever.
I was familiar with that, yeah.
And it was either, I don't know if it's like a biological clone or a magical clone or what, but Madeline Pryor is this lady that looks just like her that Cyclops meets, and he ends up marrying her, and they're having a life together, whatever. And then Jean Grey comes back.
Oh, okay.
Madeline Pryor ends up becoming the Goblin Queen in the Inferno thing. It's like some weird shit. I don't know.
Did Cyclops...
Clone stuff, man. Fuck clone stuff.
Yeah, it's real dumb.
But if I had to answer the question, I'd probably pick somebody that was like a... It was like a beeline for somebody, like Colossus was actually a clone.
That would make sense. Like Russian experiments.
Yeah. See, there you go. Yeah. It might be a better story. And also, maybe people don't care that much about Colossus.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, too, is... Pick somebody who's just like not a popular superhero. Like, I can't really think of anybody.
Where nerd investment like, is low.
Yeah, yeah. Like Jubilee, for example. Like,
what about Deadpool?
No, that'd be
popular character. But if you found out he was a clone, he'd be like, oh well, whatever.
Whatever. No, yeah, that would be great if the whole clone saga happened to Deadpool instead, and then there's like 50 Deadpools running around.
They kind of did that with Night of the Living Deadpool,
right? Where there's
that?
Like Headpool and the girl like. Girl,
no,
Deadpool,
this is
or... no, no, okay.
Night of the Living Deadpool was. So let me see if I can get this story straight. So it's a zombie story, right? Night of the Living Deadpool.
Yeah.
And the deal is, people become zombies, and then if Deadpool kills one of the zombie turns into a Deadpool. I think that's how it went. So you got this world that's got this zombie apocalypse has happened to it. People are trying to survive the zombie apocalypse. And then there's also a whole bunch of Deadpools running around, and they're really shitty. They just kill people and want to make more Deadpools. So they'll kill people. They'll sick zombies on people to turn them into zombies so they can kill them to make more Deadpool. It was fucking weird.
The Deadpool army.
Yeah, it was actually kind of a cool Deadpool story, but... really fucking bizarre, man.
I mean, Deadpool's one of those characters, too, where he was not that popular because he used to be just sort of a serious, like, I'm a badass assassin. And then once Yeah, like, the first Deadpool was, like... Huh. I mean, he was still, like, the merc with the mouth and stuff like that, but he didn't have the crazy... fourth wall breaking thing going on for his first few, you know, because
he was just, I kill people and I'm annoying.
Yeah, I think he premiered in a Cable comic.
Yeah, one
I
of those. Think. X-Force.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Something.
And yeah, he just wasn't popular. So then I forget which writer did it, but yeah, the writer that started doing the, like, he's crazy and he's aware that he's a comic book character. And then he fucking took off. And now he has a major, the most popular of the Fox comic book movies was Deadpool's movie.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it would really jumpstart Jubilee's career if she was a clone.
She was a clone. Okay. So the Spider-Man thing was that Ben Reilly was a clone of Spider-Man, and he was running around as Spider-Man the whole time. And then, so with Jubilee, that Jubilee is somewhere else, and who's here impersonating her?
I think you should mix it up too, like have like 20 clones of Jubilee and they start their own like the Jubilee Force or something like that.
Yeah,
and one of them's a villain, but you don't know which one that is. One of them's Mystique dressed up as I don't know.
She throws a curveball in the middle of the saga.
Right. But I guess for the second question, like who would be a better person to date for Lois Lane, Mary Jane and Gwen Stacy? I guess
what comic book relationships would have worked out better than the classics?
I think the only true answer to this is anyone that's not a superhero.
Right, yeah. If Mary Jane dates Flash Thompson and he doesn't become Venom,
yeah, they're going to have a good life because they're going to have a normal life, you know? And
yeah.
Never going to get kidnapped by the Green Goblin or Demi Goblin or who the fuck ever, you know?
The Demi Goblin.
Demi Goblin. Yeah, that's a guy. Or Demo Goblin, something like that.
Demo Goblin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the Alba Goblin Nation. Was that the Spider-Man story?
I don't know, but there's a million of them.
Yeah.
Hobgoblin, Green Goblin, the Demogorgon.
That's a boring answer, though, right? I mean, do we have something that's more exciting?
I think the Gwen Stacy dating Mary Jane
would
be pretty good.
I guess if you were invested. Yeah, that's not bad. If Mary Jane's like, you're Spider-Man. Oh, my God, I can't handle it. And I'm on a date.
Or, yeah, you could do like a modern version. But then she's Spider-Gwen.
Spider-Gwen. That's actually a pretty cool comic.
Yeah. No, I like it, too. The other thing that I came up with for Lois Lane was, I mean, the only thing I can think of is because I don't know
Jimmy Olsen.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of like, but she wouldn't, would she, though?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, Clark is more attractive than Jimmy Olsen.
I guess.
But I don't know.
The more attractive to you, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, Superman, man.
Yeah.
He is attractive. Superman Man. Well, that's all I got, but I think we're at a good time. Let's all
right.
Yeah, we're fine. We can do a shorty.
We really did. We really did some nerds.
We're something nerding. I will try to get Dan is always welcome on the podcast, but I'm going to try to get a different host on next week.
Tried to pull Charles in this week, but there was too much foosball happening.
There's a whole lot of foosball.
Yep.
Yep, but
that reminds me, Super Bowl is coming up.
It is.
And instead of Super Bowl, I do Super Star Wars Sunday because I don't care about football.
Do you watch all the Star Wars movies?
I usually at least just one. Make some junk food and watch a Star Wars movie instead of a foosball.
I haven't seen the originals in such a long time.
I should watch one of those.
Do your kids like the new ones better? I mean,
is a great question. Yeah. I may have been a little negligent in forcing them to watch more of that stuff. I really need to
sit down and watch Star Wars.
Yeah, we're watching Star Wars. I love doing that kind of stuff. It's like, hey, we're gonna watch a cowboy movie today. Oh, they get so pissed off,
and then they get into it though, don't
check
they?
Check it out, we're watching El Dorado, and it's an old John Wayne. Yeah, if a gunfight happens, they get into it. But most of you are like, oh god, this isn't a cartoon.
Not enough lightsabers.
I would like to get one thing I haven't seen is the Star Wars Rebels show.
I haven't seen that at all. I don't even think I've heard of that.
It's the follow on to
Clone Wars.
Clone Wars, yeah, okay. Yeah. So after Lucasfilm sold to Disney, Clone Wars is kind of long in the tooth at that point anyway, right?
Yeah.
But they canceled Clone Wars and started up Star Wars Rebels, and it's supposed to be a pretty good show.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about Clone Wars, too, but...
But getting a hold of... Yeah, Clone Wars is great. It's all on Netflix, too. You should totally check it out.
Yeah.
I mean, it does have its slogs at times where it's like, oh, a Senate episode. Who gives a fuck?
Where's those little E.T. monsters?
Yeah, but there's some cool... Like, they have some awesome lightsaber fights. There's one called The Lair of Grievous, which
that
is...
That sounds pretty cool.
Awesome episode. I love that one. I need to maybe... The problem is, for whatever reason, they're not streaming anywhere. Like,
no, you can't.
You have cable and can get Disney XD, you can get them streamed through Roku or something.
Didn't they re-release the originals after Lucas sold it without the edits?
No, there was big talk about, oh, maybe Disney will actually do that because fans would like that, and
yeah.
Why wouldn't they want to make some more money? But as far as I know, they haven't actually released them. And it may be that they don't have a really good cut of it because it would probably still be on on film.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of a shame. I wanted to... My ex-wife had a really good...
Laserdisc
copy? VHS. But I really wanted to, you know, like convert that to digital and sell it for a million dollars.
So I did... I did see online a while back, and you obviously it's not something that is going to persist too long if once Disney gets wind that it's out on the internet.
Yeah.
Some guy had gone back; he had taken a special edition and a copy off of DVD or Blu-ray or whatever, and he had edited it so that it was like the old one. Like those parts where they had taken out the walls and made them windows so you could see shit flying, he put the walls back in, like all this kind of stuff. And so it apparently looked really good. It wasn't perfect, but it looked a lot better than...
Yeah, it's like a fan edit, you know? Yeah, it's not going to be the best thing, but it's...
Yeah. So that'd be cool. Yeah, I would probably pick them up if they...
I absolutely would if they released a DVD. I don't need a Blu-ray. I don't have a Blu-ray player.
I would like a Blu-ray.
I know. I would like a Blu-ray player on my computer. So,
well, you're going to upgrade for the Oculus, so you might as well go whole hog and put a Blu-ray player in there.
I bet they'd probably do a digital release, too.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course I would.
That's fine. I need a terabyte hard drive. I don't know.
Okay, so if you're listening out there and you got a spare terabyte hard drive.
Yeah, or an Oculus Rift, or just...
Send it to the internet.
Just cash. Just mail it to P.O. Box 123 Made Up Street.
Yeah, care of internet.
Care of internet.
Some nerds, care of internets.
All right, nerds, thanks for listening, and we'll check you out next week. Bye, nerds.
Bye, nerds.
Space Podcast.